Filipinos make their annual trek to the provinces for the Holy Week break. A huge oil price hike set for Tuesday. Later on in the program, we'll speak with Bukidnon 2nd District Representative Jonathan Keith Flores on making road rules in the country fair to law-abiding citizens. And four suspects in the deadly Russia concert hall attack charged with terrorism. I'm Stanley Palisada. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Now, for those of you watching us on YouTube and Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with the transport terminals across the Philippines bracing for the annual Holy Week exodus. As of Sunday, over 100,000 passengers have flocked to the Parañaque Integrated Terminal Exchange. Authorities at the terminals say the expected peak in travel volume will be on Wednesday and the morning of Monday, Thursday. It expects more than 1.7 million travelers to pass through the terminal throughout the week.
Sana, hanggat maaari, makapag-book tayo na maaga, makabili tayo ng ticket na maaga. Kasi pag yung mga last minute na preparations, yung pagbabiyahe, medyo dyan tayo magkakaroon ng konti paghintay, pagpipila, at medyo konti pag-init ng ulo. Katulad din po sa mga ibang ports, no? Sa airport, sa seaport, dito po sa land port, medyo may mga pinagbabawal din po tayong bagahe. Katulad ng nasabi kanina, yung mga matatalim na bagay na maaaring gamiting weapon, bawal na bawal po yan, no? Pangalawa, yung medyo masasangsang na amoy, baka pwedeng iwasan na ng mga kababae natin bitbitin yan. Yung mga pyrotechnics o yung mga bagay na pwedeng magliyab, ano, at makakreate ng sunog.
The Philippine Ports Authority also expects over 2 million passengers to travel by sea this Holy Week. It is also coordinating with the Philippine Coast Guard to avoid accidents at sea or incidents of overbooking.
We are coordinating with the Philippine Coast Guard. Recently, last week, PPA General Manager Jason Chago and the Philippine Coast Guard had a close coordination and a closed-door meeting for these accidents, to prevent these accidents from happening. And we are closely working with the Philippine Coast Guard to ensure that there will be no overbooking, there will be enough ships, and also we're calling for Marina and for the shipping lines to add additional ships because actually the passengers are more than the available ships that we have right now.
Airports also seeing an influx of passengers. The Manila International Airport Authority expects the number of travelers to reach over a million this week. It also assures the public of NAIA's cleanliness following the pest controversies. The Mactan Cebu International Airport also bracing for the influx of Holy Week travelers. Ani Perez joins us now with that story. Hi, Annie. What can you tell us?
Hi, Stanley. The Mactan Cebu International Airport Aviation Authority expressed that they are now on full alert as they launched yesterday the offline Biyaheng Ayos Semana Santa. This means that they are now heightening their security and operations as they prepare for the influx of passengers in both the domestic and international terminals. Its general manager, Julius Neri, made an inspection to check if all signages and help desks which are intended for passengers are already in place. They said that this effort is a collaboration with the operations department, rescue and firefighting division, medical division, airport police, and public affairs division. These help desks would be sufficiently manned 24/7 and that the leaves of absences of all their personnel are not allowed because of this heightened alert. Last year's Holy Week, in this airport, they yielded over 600,000 domestic passengers and 160,000 international passengers. Neri said that they're expecting more passengers this year as they added more flights and welcomed new airline carriers. Meanwhile, the Land Transportation Office in Central Visayas, Stanley, also launched their Offline Biyaheng Ayos. Its regional director, Glenn Garlorio, said that they are making sure all vehicles are roadworthy and ready for the influx of passengers in not just in Cebu province, but the entire Central Visayas region. They are set to conduct inspections for PUVs to make sure that they are roadworthy and that there are no colorum vehicles. They are also coordinating with the Philippine National Police to implement different traffic management and traffic laws to make sure that the safety of passengers and motorists are ensured. They are also strengthening their offline snabero to make sure that taxis and PUV drivers will not refuse to convey passengers to their destination. Deputized law enforcement officers will also be activated by the LTO. And that's the latest here in Cebu. Annie Perez, ABS-CBN News.
Yes, Annie, just for a bit of insight, just how big is Holy Week travel in Cebu, considering that it is one of the major summer destinations in the country?
If we base our data, Stanley, from last year, MCIA got over 600,000. The Cebu Ports Authority also logged over 500,000 last year, and they're expecting it to be more, so it's going to be less than a million or so. And we don't know yet because the restrictions are looser now than last year. There are more trips now than last year, more airline carriers than last year. A lot of tours and tour operators are going back in the game than last year, so we are seeing exodus and influx, if that's how you want to describe it. But we here in Central Visayas are really expecting a lot of people to be visiting us, especially that we are considered as a tourist hub, not just Cebu, but even Bohol, Oriental, and Siquijor, as it is home to a lot of white sand beaches and different tourist attractions, Stanley.
All right. We do look forward to hearing more summer stories from you. Annie Perez there reporting from Cebu. Thank you. The Toll Regulatory Board also gearing up for the Holy Week. The board expects to see the peak of travel going to the provinces starting Wednesday until Easter Sunday, when passengers are expected to return to Manila. Now, toll tellers and enforcers will also be fully deployed to cater to motorists. North Luzon Expressway officials also expect the number of vehicles to increase to 330,000 or more, while those passing through the Subic-Clark-Tarlac Expressway could hit 80,000. This represents a 10% increase from the average daily count.
Natin talaga na marami po talaga itong Merkules ng hapon, ng gandami. At lalong-lalo na po yung Huwebes, experience po natin.
Well, heads up for motorists. You may need to take alternate routes this week. The Metropolitan Manila Development Authority announced there will be a 24-hour road work on major thoroughfares in the capital region this Holy Week. Now, the affected areas are flashed on your screens. Take a look. Well, bad news for Holy Week travelers. A big-time fuel price hike is seen set on Tuesday. Now, gasoline prices will increase by 2 pesos and 20 centavos per liter, while diesel prices will go up by 1 peso and 40 centavos. A liter of kerosene will also see a peso and 30 centavo increase. The Philippine Energy Department said the Russia-Ukraine war and a drop in Iraq crude exports were among the factors driving up pump prices. The Philippine Foreign Affairs Department summons the Chinese embassy's chargé d'affaires to protest the latest Chinese maritime aggression on Philippine waters. China's latest use of a water cannon on a Philippine resupply mission in Ayuin Shoal this past Saturday injured three Filipinos. The DFA says it has also instructed the Philippine embassy in Beijing to lodge the same protest with the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The DFA asserts China has no right to be in Ayuin Shoal, which lies within the Philippines' exclusive economic zone. Manila demanding that the Chinese ships leave the area immediately. A maritime law expert says the Philippines and the U.S. should define a proportional and responsible response to China's water cannon attacks under their mutual defense treaty. The Philippines has so far rejected calls to invoke the treaty, despite China's growing aggression in Philippine waters. But for Professor J. Batongbacaw, there is a need to come up with a response to water cannon attacks, since China's actions are now causing injuries to Filipinos on board resupply vessels, as well as damage to ships.
The U.S. Indo-PACOM came out with its interpretation that DMDT in considering armed attacks, no, is not necessarily limited to the use of weapons. In fact, it also considers the use of any kind of means which produces injury, death, or destruction. So it would include, I believe, even the use of water cannon in the way that it is being used by China. There are considerations of what would be the proportional and reasonable response to a water cannon attack, no? And that's something that is left to the Philippines and the United States, really, to discuss further.
Batong Bakal also believes the upcoming trilateral summit between the U.S., the Philippines, and Japan will help Manila better assert its rights in the West Philippine Sea.
What is happening now is that the Philippines has become much more proactive instead of being merely passive, no, in building up these networks for joint and cooperative action and essentially providing moral support, not just material support. And this is very important because it is part of the process of building a strong and resilient international community, a real one that relies on the rule of law and considers all of its members to be equal.
An Indian Coast Guard vessel has docked in Manila. Robert Mano now joins us to tell us about the purpose of this visit. Robert?
Currently in the country now for port call is one of the ships of the Indian Coast Guard named Samudra Paheredar. This is the second pollution control vessel of the Indian Coast Guard. The ship was built to control oil spills and be used in rescue operations in India. For now, their joint training will be inshore. Indian Coast Guard seeks to utilize the port visit as an opportunity to conduct professional engagement in the fields of maritime or marine pollution response, maritime law enforcement, and maritime search and rescue. There will also be a coastal cleanup drive in Dolomite Beach tomorrow. The visit to the country is unrelated to the ongoing tensions in the West Philippine Sea. There will be a bilateral meeting with the Indian Coast Guard this year to finalize the details as part of the signing of Memorandum of Understanding.
All right, thank you so much for the update, Robert Mano. Moving on, House lawmakers pushing for a new law that aims to even the odds for law-abiding motorists and pedestrians. Bukidnon 2nd District Representative Jonathan Keith Flores believes some of our traffic rules are already outdated and that there is a broad and mistaken application of laws on road mishaps. Now, Congressman Flores joins us on the program to tell us more about the Philippine Responsible Driving and Accountability Act of 2024. Representative Flores, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Stanley. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's talk about your proposed bill now. What prompted you to pursue this one? What is the inspiration, and why do you think it is necessary to revisit our laws and make changes?
Yeah, what really triggered it was the Skyway incident. It's really an awakening again to have to revisit these laws because of the misinterpretation or the misapplication of our existing laws that led to incidents like that.
All right. Now, having said that, though, do you feel that traffic rules in the country are always slanted towards those who end up with the worst damage or even those that are injured, even though they are the ones at fault in the incident?
Yes, Stanley. That's because of the result of the misapplication of certain provisions of the law, like Article 2185 of the Civil Code. Now, in our cases, the traffic enforcers or our police officers automatically presume that the drivers are the ones liable in case of an accident. No? But in reality, there should be certain measures to check whether there was liability on the part of the person driving the vehicle.
Okay, you were referring to the Skyway incident where, there was a counterflowing motorist. Now, you know, the propensity of Filipinos to counterflow on roads, this has been a disaster waiting to happen. It is happening every day. Fortunately, there are no injuries or deaths, but this one really did it for this type of violation. Now, does your proposed law now cover this? And how about areas, of course, where traffic authorities are allowing counterflowing, because it seems like you know, a lot of our traffic rules are unclear.
This is a perfect example of the misapplication of that presumption. Here in the Skyway Twins, we have a motorcycle driver who was on the wrong side of the road, who wasn't supposed to be on that road, was driving in excess of the speed limit, and hits someone who was driving within the applicable speed limits in his right lane, and yet he ends up being the one charged.
Right.
So that's what this law is trying to correct.
Right. Do you think this law will also be consistent with existing laws? Because, you know, in a lot of traffic accidents, you know, you have a case called reckless imprudence resulting in homicide, always on the part of the one less injured. Do you think these laws now are not consistent?
This is actually a supplement to those laws, no? Like the reckless imprudence. Because first and foremost, the traffic investigators must first determine whether the driver was driving in a reckless and imprudent manner that resulted to the accident. Because if there is no showing at all that the driver was driving in a reckless and imprudent manner, then there should be no case against him. But what's happening right now is that our traffic enforcers immediately presume that the driver was the one at fault. So because of that misapplication of the laws on reckless imprudence.
All right. Let's talk about pedestrians now, Congressman Flores. There are many highways in the Philippines where Filipinos still try to cross despite road warnings reminding them that it's dangerous and illegal. Now, under your proposed law, if a motorist now hits that person or a pedestrian, they are not liable? Or what if the person dies? And of course, do you expect pushback again from human rights defenders who may have issues with your proposal?
Okay, now let me be clear on this.
Yeah.
This is not a green light, of course, for motorists to just run over persons who are not using the pedestrian lanes. No? But if a driver is driving within the speed limits, has the proper license, and is someone who was not in the pedestrian lane, but had no chance of avoiding it, now, then he should not be held liable for it. No? The presumption is that if he is obeying all of the traffic rules and regulations at the time of the incident, and it was the other person or the person jaywalking who was like violating certain traffic rules, then he should not be held liable for it. Now, if they're claiming that it is a human right that will be violated, it is also the human right of the driver who has been following all the rules and has been not been driving in a reckless and imprudent manner, to be not held liable for it. That is also his human right.
Okay. And also, what are your expectations on the way authorities will investigate these incidents? Because based on your proposed law, you know, if there is no video evidence that proves who is at fault, this would demand, put a lot on authorities to really find out, to really investigate thoroughly, and come out with accurate results. Now, how does that play into your proposal?
Well, investigations should not be based solely on CCTV footage. They can also determine incidents by measuring the skid marks or the debris based on the point of impact or witnesses who saw the incident or something like that. So it's not totally dependent on CCTV footage. Now, while the law does not require traffic law enforcers or our police officers to be updated in these skills, that it should be the responsibility also of our PNP to update and upgrade or upskill our traffic enforcers and our police investigators in determining who will be at fault.
Okay, so we've covered so far those that are involved in the accident, the motorists, we've covered the investigators or the police. So what about the privately run expressways, for instance? What other stakeholders are you expecting to get on board, and what are their responsibilities as well? Because a lot of accidents also happen because of bad roads or ill-maintained thoroughfares.
Well, traffic rules and regulations, including this proposed bill, is applicable to all streets.
Okay.
Where
Congressman Flores, are you still with us?
Public, yeah. Where motor vehicles are allowed to way, or if it's in a public road, or in a... Yeah.
All right. Lastly, Congressman Flores, what is the status of your proposal now of the bill? Are you confident you'll get the support for this?
Well, I'm hoping to get the support of other members of Congress, because it's really high time to review and revisit and correct the injustices that have been done to law-abiding motorists.
All right. Congressman Jonathan Keith Flores, again, thank you so much for joining Dateline Philippines to talk about your proposed law. Have a good day.
Thank you for having me, Stanley.
All right, up next, terrorism charges filed against four of the suspects in the deadly Russia concert hall attack. Details of that story and more when Daytime Philippines returns. Stay with ANC. Welcome back. Luzon's power grid at risk of falling under a yellow alert warning in the coming months due to the dry season worsened by the El Nino phenomenon. The Energy Department says though it is not expecting power outages, it remains on alert amid the expected scorching temperatures. The DOE urges the public to practice energy conservation. It also reminded power generation companies to comply with a DOE-approved operation and maintenance program to ensure they will meet target operational dates. The State Weather Bureau, PAGASA, on Friday announced the onset of the dry season in the country.
Ginawa nating mitigating measures. Pagdating doon sa ating mga power supply, kahit na sa testing and commissioning pa lang yung isang planta, yung mga committed projects na papasok ng first semester nitong 2024, binigyan na natin ng reminder na ang ating system operator na kailangan, kung kinakailangan itong mga planta na sa testing and commissioning, patakbuhin din para makapagbigay ng additional capacity. At the same time, tinawagan na natin yung ating mga distribution utilities, pati na rin ang NGCP, na magkaroon na sila ng alert para dun sa ating mga participants ng interruptible load program. So para maiwasan kagad natin na mayroong malakihang brownout.
World news now, four of the suspects in the deadly Russia concert hall attack charged with terrorism. One of the suspects, a Tajikistan national, pleaded guilty to all charges. All four were ordered detained until May, pending trial. They risk a life sentence in prison. Friday night's attack, which killed 137 and wounded over 180 others, was the deadliest on Russian territory since 2004. 11 suspects were arrested. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the attack. Russia lowers flags to half-mast as it holds a day of national mourning for the victims of Friday's attack. People have been laying flowers outside the concert hall. Russian President Vladimir Putin also lit a candle in memory of the victims. Putin addressed the nation a day earlier and said the attackers had sought to escape towards Ukraine, with people on the Ukrainian side preparing to let them cross the border. Kyiv has repeatedly denied any role in the attack. President Volodymyr Zelensky also accusing Putin of trying to divert blame. Now, France raises its terror alert warning to its highest level following the shootings in Moscow. The French Prime Minister says the decision was taken in light of the Islamic State's claim of responsibility for the Moscow attack and the threats weighing on the country. The move comes months before Paris hosts the Olympic Games. The raising of the terror alert warning allows for exceptional security measures such as stepped-up patrols by the military in public places. Now, Pope Francis skipped reading his homily during the Palm Sunday Mass at St. Peter's Square at the last minute, but he continued presiding at the service. This is very unusual for a pope to totally skip a homily at a major event. The Vatican also gave no explanation. The pontiff, however, took time during the Mass to condemn what he called a vile attack in Moscow and offered prayers to the victims. The 87-year-old pope had been suffering from bronchitis and influenza in recent weeks. More than 200,000 are left without stable power in Kharkiv following Russian strikes. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said these strikes were Moscow's biggest attack on Ukraine's power grid in over 2 years. Now, Russia pounded Ukrainian power facilities on Friday, striking a dam over the Dnipro River. The national grid operator said rotating power outages are also in force in Odessa following the strikes. In the Middle East, an Israeli airstrike hit Rafah early Sunday, killing seven and wounding several others. Over a million Palestinians displaced by Israel's offensives are sheltering in Rafah, which is Gaza's southernmost town on the Egyptian border. But as Israel prepares for a ground invasion, civilians there say Rafah is no longer safe. The international community has warned Israel against an assault in Rafah. But Israel continues to justify its planned move, claiming Rafah is the last bastion, in fact, for Hamas. Meanwhile, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres visited Rafah over the weekend. The visit by Guterres comes as Israel faces global pressure to allow more humanitarian aid into Gaza. He says the UN will continue to work with Egypt to streamline the flow of aid into the besieged enclave.
A long line of blocked red relief trucks on one side of the gates, the long shadow of starvation on the other. That is more than tragic. It is a moral outrage. Now more than ever, it is time for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. It is time to silence the guns. Palestinians in Gaza, children, women, men, remain stuck in a non-stop nightmare. It is time for an ironclad commitment by Israel for total and unfettered access for humanitarian goods throughout Gaza. And in the Ramadan spirit of compassion, it is also time for the immediate release of all hostages.
Ireland is set to have its youngest prime minister. 37-year-old Simon Harris will assume the post following his unopposed election to succeed Leo Varadkar, who stepped down last week. Now, Harris served as Ireland's Minister for Higher Education and the country's Health Minister from 2016 to 2020. He is best known for helping steer Ireland's initial response to COVID-19. Harris will officially be voted as Prime Minister when the Irish Parliament meets on April 9. The shipping industry is responsible for roughly 3% of global emissions. One UK startup is trying to help clean up the maritime sector by capturing carbon emissions at the source. Take a look.
This may look like some crates on a cargo ship, but it's actually an onboard carbon capture system designed to suck carbon emissions from the air and turn them into stone. It's one of the ways the shipping industry is exploring to reduce their climate footprint.
We capture CO2 directly on board ships to trap their CO2 emissions and reduce them and keep the ship sailing on the water instead of replacing the whole fleet.
The global shipping sector transports around 90% of world trade. It's also responsible for around 3% of the world's carbon dioxide emissions. The UN Shipping Agency has set out targets for the industry to reach net zero around 2050. But getting there won't be easy. Unlike the car industry, for example, shipping cannot simply electrify its fleet to reduce the carbon footprint. Seabound co-founder Alicia Fredrickson explains.
The options for a ship owner today are very challenging. Essentially, you could, order a new ship with a new type of engine that could burn a different type of fuel, like ammonia or methanol. But the fuels don't exist yet. The new engines are very expensive, and they're not compliant with their existing vessels.
Another possibility is capturing ships' emissions and storing them on board. UK startup Seabound is developing a carbon capture system designed to fit on the deck of large cargo ships. A pilot trial on a 45,000-ton container ship, the Sunyun Trader, captured around 80% of CO2 emissions and 90% of sulfur dioxide.
Seabound captures carbon on big ships by exposing the exhaust gas that's coming out of the engine to little pebbles of calcium oxide, which is also known as quicklime. The pebbles of calcium oxide react with the CO2 in the exhaust gas to make calcium carbonate, which is also known as limestone.
Carbon capture's role in emission reductions has so far been limited, The process is expensive, requires enormous amounts of energy and water to separate CO2 from other gases, as well as heavy upfront capital expenditure in capture plants. Seabound says their system simplifies the process by decoupling the carbon capture phase from the traditionally expensive recovery and storage phases.
So we just do part of it, which is capturing the CO2 on board each ship. And then a lot of the post-processing, we actually move that to land where we can do it for cheaper, we can do it at larger scale, and we can use land-based energy infrastructure.
The company says they are now working on a larger demonstrator and hopes to capture more than 55 tons of CO2 per day at more than 90% efficiency.
Still ahead, proudly Filipino dishes will be on display in Canada's third Filipino restaurant month. More on that when we come back. You're watching Daytime Philippines here on ANC. Welcome back. Filipino cuisine set to take center stage in Canada as it holds its third Filipino restaurant month. More from Rowena Papasin.
These delectable delights are an invitation for Canadians to experience Filipino food when the third Filipino restaurant month comes back to Canada this April. Consul General Arlene Magno, whose tour of duty has been extended until June, said the annual event has made Canadians and even Filipinos born here more aware of Filipino cuisine.
Yun ang importanteng target audience din natin, right? Not just the foreigners, but our second generation Filipinos who might not be growing up with the Filipino food that we used to do.
This year, Goldilocks Restaurant will be joining the event for the first time.
Siyempre para ma-introduce yung Goldilocks sa Canada. And napansin namin na dumadami rin naman yung customer na mga kasali sa Filipino restaurant. That's why.
The Odelicious Restaurant in Fort St. John and Flavors 8 in Dawson Creek will also participate, along with returning Vancouver Filipino restaurants Max's, Pampanga's Cuisine, Plato Filipino, as well as Grand Kitchen, Shameless Buns, and Smokehouse Sandwich. Filipino restaurant owners, however, have noticed that rising food prices have forced many Canadians to eat out less.
There's economic crisis, obviously, because of the inflation. We keep on hoping and wishing that this will end soon, really, really soon.
Others have tried hard to keep their price increases minimal while maintaining the taste and quality of their food.
Hindi yung mag-i-increase ka ng how many dollars, 3, 5, no. Because yung kasing buying capacity ng mga customers namin, we always consider it. And at the same time, yung quality kasi, you maintain it eh.
Medyo dinilay pa namin yung pag-increase ng sales ng prices namin. Kasi dinilay namin kasi ayokong makompromise yung serve namin food, babawasan namin yung lasa, o liliitan.
Since everything is increasing cost, so we also have to increase the price in which what we do is to maintain the quality of the food.
Smokehouse restaurant owner Rico Versosa, however, says they just work harder on their specialty sandwiches to keep their customers happy.
May clientele na kami na alam kung bakit ganun yung presyo namin. So, nare-respect naman nila.
Consul General Magno says that despite the rising costs, it is still a good idea to take a break from home-cooked meals and enjoy dining out once in a while.
Masarap rin naman na mag-celebrate outside with family. Kung ikaw na may nag-iisa sa bahay or dalawa lang kayo sa bahay, paminsan mas matipid pa nga yung pumunta ka na lang sa restaurant, mag-take out ka, di ba?
The participating restaurants also hope that the Filipino Restaurant Month will jumpstart the current sluggish trend and bring new customers to their doors.
Para makilala yung Filipino food, di ba? So, para makalevel natin ang Chinese or Japanese or ibang nationality, di ba? Pag sinabi yung Filipino cuisine, gusto na nila i-try.
Prices for the prefixed meals at participating restaurants range from $19.99 to $30. Rowena Papasin, ABS-CBN News, Vancouver.
In entertainment, Grammy Award-winning artist Olivia Rodrigo holds sold-out shows in Chicago where her Filipino fans praised her as a great representation for the country. Take a look.
Filipino-American singer-songwriter Olivia Rodrigo had two successful back-to-back shows which were both sold out in Chicago this week. The 21-year-old who continues to break chart records delivered her promise to her Gen Z and millennial fans to make them happy through her Guts World Tour. The much-awaited tour that began in California last month has a total of 77 shows in North America and in Europe. The three-time Grammy Award winner Rodrigo is an only child of Chris and Jennifer. Chris, a Filipino-American, is a family therapist, while Jennifer is a teacher. Film fans at the concert share one thing in common. They look up to Rodrigo as a great representation of the Philippines.
I feel proud because we don't see many Filipinos that represent us, so being her, being the same age as me, representing our country in the Philippines, I'm super proud of her.
Rodrigo's broad fan base that spans from ages 12 through 43 feels a sense of belonging through the music she writes.
I really like the type of music she makes. Her first album, Sour, is really good. It's a breakup album and everyone can relate to it.
I'm the same age as Olivia, so I find her music really relatable because I've been able to grow up with her.
But Rodrigo's recent concert in Missouri drew controversy after she partnered with advocacy groups to distribute emergency contraceptives. Social media posts of condoms and Plan B contraceptives went viral. Missouri is one of the 14 states that bans abortion since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. Rodrigo's team decided to stop the distribution of the contraceptive materials since children are present at the concerts. ABS-CBN News North America has reached out to Rodrigo's team and has not received a response as of this broadcast. Connie Macatula de Leon, ABS-CBN News, Chicago.
And that'll do it for today. Thanks a lot for joining us. I'm Stanley Palisada. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on the YouTube channel of ABS-CBN News and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, everyone, as we keep it here on the news channel.